now joining.
Copy. Okay.
Now joining.
Judy Davis.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go ahead and get started. We've still got some people dialing in. As I mentioned earlier, this call is being recorded, so anybody that wants to go back and listen to it, it'll be on the website, and there should also be an 800 number to dial into. Obviously, there's a lot that's been happening in the market over the past week or so. We were actually going to be doing a call later this week based on what happened on Friday when I woke up this morning and went to bed last night looking at what the futures were doing. Decided to accelerate the call up a little bit and hold it as soon as possible because we know there's a lot of questions out there to a certain extent, some fear, some panic, et cetera. So let's just go ahead and get right into it. Obviously, right now, we are dealing with a very complex market and very, very unstable market conditions. There really should not be anybody, though, on this call that should be completely surprised by what is happening. Maybe the dramatic fashion in which it's occurred over the last few days has come as a surprise, but the fact that we're having a correction here should really come as no surprise to anybody. We've been talking about a correction, goodness, for almost 2 years now. Believe it or not, we have not had a correction in this market for the S&P for 46 months. That's the third longest stretch in market history. So the fact that we're having one now, again, should really come as no surprise. We've been talking about it for a long time. I've always said that whenever you get a correction, the headlines are always nasty. Shoot, the headlines are nasty when the market goes down 100 points, you know, let alone several hundred on the S&P. So we're in that period right now, obviously. The Dow Jones has corrected. We have had a more than 10% pullback intraday, which means if you take the top of the market to the low, not the closing low, but intraday, during the day, we've already been down roughly 15% on the Dow. Because early this morning, the Dow was down roughly 5%. We've already made back 700 of the 1,000 points that were lost early this morning. We don't know where things will end, but as of right now, we've made a lot of it back. The S&P 500 prior to this morning was down about 7.7% from the high. Not a big deal. After this morning, an intraday correction was hit because the S&P 2 was down about 5% for a correction of around 12%.
Now joining.
S&P is now down about 36 points or so. So, you know, we've made a lot of it back. But again, it should really not come as a big surprise that we are having a correction. We also kind of get complacent with things because we have not had that correction in so long, and volatility, quite honestly, up until this year, has really been pretty much non-existent for the last couple of years. So as soon as we see volatility, it becomes very unsettling, very nerve-wracking. We've talked a lot this year about the fact that there has actually been a lot more day-to-day volatility in the market. That has absolutely been the case. However, if you looked at the indexes up until last week, we were basically flat. The S&P for most of the year was up 1 or 2%. The Dow for most of the year was down 1 or 2%. Yet day-to-day, we saw a lot of fluctuations. And now over the last week or so, we've had these dramatic sell-offs. So why are stocks down? Well, we can point to a lot of different reasons. I would not be just saying, well, it's all because of China. No. There's always going to be a headline. Oftentimes, there will be something that will set it off. But the underpinnings are usually there already. For any of you that have had a review with me, which if you're a client, I suspect it's 100% of you on this call right now, all year I've been talking about the fact that the internals of the market have not been strong, that the underpinnings of the market, if you looked under the hood, it has not been particularly strong. So what we've seen is that over the last 6 to 8 months, the market has been really led by just a handful of large cap stocks. So we have a market that has really kind of been weakening internally. So what has set off this downturn? Well, if people want to say it was China, okay, maybe it set it off initially, but we can point to a lot of different things. We can point, number one, to China. We can point to the Fed meeting in September and all of the talk about the possibility of them raising rates. I never thought that that was going to be a big issue. I thought for a long time that even if the Fed raises rates, interest rates are staying low for a lot longer than people think. At least that's my opinion. Again, we have not had a correction in close to 4 years on the S&P. We're still dealing with ISIS. We had some economic news come out over the last week or two that was not that great. Our leading economic indicators were a little bit lower than expected. Earnings have not been really all that robust, but there was really nothing out in the headline saying, hey, we're pointing to a recession in 3 to 6 months. So there has been some news out there that you can point to say, hey, you know, maybe, yeah, we've been long overdue for a correction and a pullback. Again, China, is our GDP slowing? We haven't had a correction. What's the Fed going to be doing? And by the way, for the market, this is also kind of silly season. We're in August, September, October. These are generally not the strongest months of the year for the market. So, again, none of this should really come as a huge surprise, but the way in which it's occurring is a little bit more ferocious than I think any of us thought. What's the Fed going to do? I wish I knew the answer to that question. My inclination is really unchanged.
Now joining.
I think it's going to be staying low for a very long time. I think that there is a greater likelihood now than not that the Fed will not raise rates in September. If they don't, well, maybe they do it in December. If they do, who's to say they go up 25 basis points or 0.25%? Maybe they only go up 0.15 or 0.10. But at the end of the day, longer-term interest rates are controlled by the market. And the market has been saying now for definitely at least the last couple of months that interest rates are going to be staying low. So what could we see from here? Well, I think it's possible that we could really see a relief rally.
Now
I've got
joining.
Calls and emails from you over the past couple of days asking, hey, John, what do we do? Do we buy or we sell? Well, I think for right now, as of today, I don't like certainly trading into a market that looked as ugly as it did this morning. I would not be shocked if we do see some kind of a relief rally, whether it be today, tomorrow, or sometime this week, just because the markets have become so oversold. So what that means from a technical standpoint is the market has gotten so far ahead of itself on the downside that you do expect to see some kind of bounce to the upside. Believe it or not, before Friday's market close, the market was already oversold. So Friday and now today is just expanding on that much more. So I think going forward, in the short term, that we could see a bounce from here. I did not want to sell anything this morning when the Dow was down 1,000 points, because I think that the expectation should have been that, you know, look, we're either having an 87 crash, and if that were the case, we would not have been able to get out of everything anyway, or we are going to have
Edmund Gerber
kind of sustainable low. It has been improving steadily since early this morning. So that is certainly a good thing. When I'm going back here, and again, I mentioned this on the beginning of the call, you know, over the last, I don't want to go back to 08, but let's go back over the last 5 years. When we've had these moderate pullbacks, this one's a little bit more vicious than those. You know, there's always been a lot of headline news, gold, emerging market, commodities, international markets. It's all the same stuff. It's all the same stuff that is out there. I think that the difference between today and then are the same things that I've mentioned this year and the same things that I just mentioned about 3 minutes ago, and that is the underpinnings of the market are not particularly strong. So here's what could very well happen and what our game plan would be going forward. We could see a bounce here in the market because it is so oversold. It has gone down so, so much. And I think what would have to happen is that the market would really have to hold tight today for the rest of the day. We don't want to see the market go back down on the Dow another 1,000 points. Right now it's only down, I think, a couple of hundred. You know, we can manage that. We can live with that. But
now
we want to see
Nora Florsheim.
The market hold steady for at least today and tomorrow. So then what could happen is we see some kind of a bounce, hopefully, over the next week or two. What our action plan would be going forward is that if we do see some kind of bounce, if the market internals remain weak, off of that bounce. What that means is that if the market is only being driven higher by a handful of stocks, we would probably take some protective action then. We might reduce equity exposure by roughly 5 or 10%. We're never going to go all in. We're never going to go all out. So we would want to do things piecemeal, because we all know what would happen. We sold 10% today and we got that bounce tomorrow, we're going to have some clients that would not be all that happy. At the same time, if we bought more today thinking, hey, John, this is the correction we've been waiting for, shouldn't we be backing up the truck and buying more now? Well, if we bought more and the market went the other way, we're going to have some very unhappy clients. So what's happening right now is that the market underpinnings, again, are fairly weak. So if we get a rally coming up, and I'm not talking a 20% rally, I'm talking, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6%, but the underpinnings of the market are still weak, we will very likely remove maybe 5 to 10% of our equity exposure. To give you some statistics really quickly about what I'm talking about regarding the weakness underneath the market, that of the largest 4,000 publicly traded companies on the U.S. exchanges, more than 45%, almost half of them, are 20% or more below their three-year high. I mean, let's think about that. Of the 4,000 largest stocks, almost half of them are already down 20% or more from their three-year high. Of the 4,000 companies, almost 25% are 40% or more below their three-year high. Well, you hear that and you think, well, how is that possible? How is the S&P then only down year-to-date roughly 10%? It's because the S&P is what's called a cap-weighted index. It's being really elevated and driven by just a handful of stocks that have been sustaining their highs. Well, obviously, over the last couple of days, they too have joined the downturn in the market, which is why you see the indexes coming down. So if we do get some kind of a short-term rally here, but those stocks that have been weak, if those stocks remain weak, then we will probably look to sell off 5 to 10% of our equity, take a step back,
now joining,
but, and see what happens from there. But I definitely want to have this call, number one, to answer your questions, let you know what we're thinking, and also just as of right now, let's not panic here. There are some pros. There are some decent things that are happening out there. I've talked about this for a long time now. Housing is still doing okay. Manufacturing in this company, in this country, has absolutely been on a tear for the last 6 or 7 years. Energy, we can look as a double-edged sword. The price of energy has dropped like a rock, which helps us from an inflation standpoint and from a gas price standpoint. But the cause of that could be troubling because if you have global demand tapering off, that does not bode well for the world economies. We still have low interest rates and we still have low inflation. So there are some positives that are out there. Let's talk about the negatives. Obviously, risk aversion in the market has come back in full force, but that's been really over the last week or so. We have corporate earnings that have been a little bit more lackluster than we would have liked to have seen. Obviously, we have a slowing China. But I think for right now, the biggest issue is just that underlying weakness in the market. The markets are going to do what they're going to do. We only knew in hindsight that the bottom of the market from 2007 to 2008 was going to be March of 2009. It never felt as though it should have been that way, right, because the economy was not back on its footing, yet that was the market low. The same thing can happen at market peaks. And I'm not saying this is a market peak. We don't have any way of knowing. But the economy can still be doing okay even at a market peak because the market is always forward-looking. So right now my biggest concern is the concern that I've had for the better part of the year, and that is the underpinnings of the market are weak. Now, why haven't we sold? But some of you might be asking that. Well, John, if the underpinnings of the market have been weak for the last 5, 6 months, why haven't we gotten more conservative? Why are we talking about this now? Well, number one, we're not all in to begin with. Our moderate clients, we're basically, you know, 60% equities, 40% cash and bonds. Our more aggressive clients we're roughly 80, 85% in equities. But the rationale behind it is that the markets can kind of self-correct. without going down 20%. It can stay in no man's land for a fairly long period of time without really going down in full force. So that has been the rationale so far this year of not being overly conservative. And, of course, the last time we did that a couple of years ago and got, in hindsight, a little too conservative, the market went the other way on us, and it went and shot right back up again. You know, who's to say we don't wake up in the morning and China institutes some type of massive banking easing program like what we did several years ago, and, you know, the market rallies 3 or 4%. You know, that could happen. It happened in 2010 in our markets during August of 2010, when a market was correcting 18%, the Fed came out, announced QE. September and October were two of the strongest months in the history of our market. Well, not the history, but since the 1930s. The September and October time period was a terrific couple of months for our market. So we're watching things, obviously, very, very closely, very, very carefully. Where are we going from here? We just talked about that a little bit. Obviously, I've been concerned about valuations for a long time. Market valuations have a longer-term impact on where it's going, not a short-term impact. I do think, though, that, you know, we could very well see a short-term bounce here. We're going to be watching the internals of the market very carefully. For some of our clients that are taking income from the portfolios, we did make a change a few weeks ago. We got out of the Master Limited Partnership, which is an Oppenheimer mutual fund tied to energy. We got out of that and got a little bit more conservative in that fund, which as of today, that's helped a little bit. Are we in a bond bubble, as everybody's been writing about for years? I still don't believe that to be the case. I don't think bonds are going to be a wonderful place to be in the long term as far as big economic returns go, but they do provide a safe haven. They do provide some predictable income. And it is still a place where we're going to have some exposure to. So for right now, we are staying put, at least as of today, not making any changes. I can't say we won't be making any changes later this week or next week or in the next couple of weeks, but for right now, we are not making any changes, all for the reasons that I've already stated on this call. So before I open it up to Q&A, I do just want to let you know a couple of the questions that I've already gotten, and I think I've already alluded to them. So, John, given this decline that you've been talking about that we should have been getting, 10-ish, 12-ish percent correction, should we be buying? And the answer to that question, at least as of today, is no. And the reason being is, again, the underpinnings of the market are just too weak for, I think, us to justify getting more aggressive. At the same time, I've gotten a couple of calls, a couple of emails. John, given the carnage in the market over the last week, should we be selling? And I think the answer to that as of today is also no, because it has been such a quick, dramatic decline that the probabilities favor a short-term bounce. There's never a guarantee. Anything can happen. We all know that. But the probabilities do favor at least some kind of short-term bounce. And again, right now, we've shaved off 800 points from the Dow's low this morning. The Dow is down a little bit more than 1,000, and right now it's just down a little bit more than a couple of hundred points. So with that, I'm going to go ahead. Let's make sure I press the correct buttons here. I'm going to go ahead and open this up to Q&A. Okay, I've gone ahead and I've updated. I've went ahead and unmuted everybody. So everybody, please be aware that everybody can hear everybody else. If any of you have any questions that you don't want to ask on the phone, please feel free to email Brian. You can email him your questions, and if we can get to it on this call, I will. If not, me, Michelle, or Brian will call you back today or shoot you back an email with the answer to your question. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and open it up to Q&A, whoever would like to ask me anything. I know because I've unmuted everybody, everybody can hear everybody else, but I'm unable to hear anybody asking a specific question. Okay, I heard a little bit of chatter in the background. Does anybody have any questions that anybody would like to ask me or anything on a clarification? If nobody has a question, does anybody want me to clarify anything that I talked about?
Jonathan?
Hey, Josh.
Hey, just a quick question. You talked about your more aggressive accounts and how they were allocated, and you talked about your more conservative accounts. Where are your moderate accounts allocated right now?
Our moderate accounts are right now roughly, you know, depending on the client, roughly 60% in equities and about 40% in bonds and cash. We're holding in most of our moderate accounts, not all of them, but most of them anywhere. We're already holding between 5 and 10% in cash right now. Some of the mutual funds we own in our moderate accounts that are more of our buy and hold holdings are also holding a fair amount of cash. For example, many of our clients own First Eagle Global. First Eagle Global is going to own 30-40% U.S., 30-40% international, 10% gold, and right now they're holding roughly 10-15% cash. Yachtman, same thing. Yachtman's holding a good amount of cash. I think they're up around 10%. GavCal, which is a fund we've owned now for a couple of years, their portfolio, they're in mostly equities, but they too are holding 10-15% in cash right now because they're not seeing a whole lot of bargains. But to answer your question, we're about 60-ish percent equities, but of that 60, some of these funds are holding a little bit of cash. So you might even be closer to about 55.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? I know that not everybody on this call is shy.
Hey, Jonathan?
Yes.
Got Steve Lerner here. How are you doing?
Hey, good, Steve. How's everything?
Okay. Question about in relation to, let's say, a bond ladder. Would that be something that we can possibly use at this time, or is that something that's not really viable?
No, I mean, look, I'm certainly not opposed to laddering bonds, Steve. I generally will buy the bond funds because all of the funds that we do use over a full market cycle have beaten their benchmark. So if we were to go out and buy a whole bunch of individual bonds, we can do that, kind of replicate a bond fund. I just don't think we're going to get the diversification that we need because when you ladder a bond, you know, we really need to own at least a few hundred thousand dollars worth of individual bonds to get that type of diversification. So I'm not opposed to bond laddering. It's just that our philosophy has generally been let's use some of the bond funds that have historically over time beaten their benchmark. So that's generally what we're doing in the portfolios. And, you know, again, I have no problem with the bond laddering. And again, normally when you are going to use a bond ladder, you're going to be somewhat restricted, Steve, to the types of bonds you're going to buy. You're generally going to buy AAA-rated munis or AAA-rated corporates. You're not really going to be able to open up yourself more to being maybe buying high-yield, floating rate, foreign bonds, et cetera.
Now joining
Vicki.
And right now, the NASDAQ, boy, the NASDAQ right now is only down 20 points. It's not even down 0.5% for today. So, you know, hopefully what we're going to see, guys, is some stability here over the next 24 to 48 hours. That would be ideal. We'd really love to see some buying come back into the market, obviously. Okay, what other questions do we have? I'll sit tight for a little bit longer. Anybody wants to formulate any questions? And if anybody has any questions on any specific holding that they have in the portfolio, if you want to ask about a specific ETF or stock or mutual fund, please feel free. Well, boy, guys, I don't know, man. The market, since I started this call, now the S&P is not even down 1%. Maybe we just need to hold this call every day. Some market strength here. But I know it's been unsettling. It's been unsettling for all of you. It's been unsettling for us. We don't like to see this. You know, we're obviously trying to make the best decisions we possibly can for all of you. And still try to participate in the upside while doing our best to try to protect on the downside. This last week has just been very, very difficult because somewhat similar to 08, nothing has gone unscathed. There was really no place to hide last week. So even our client portfolios, Josh, I was talking, you know, we were 60-40. Boy, of the 40% that was in cash and bonds, you know, two of the holdings got hit relatively hard, even during that downturn. And two of the holdings held up relatively well. So it's been a challenging period. But guys, anything else? Any other questions? Again, this call is being recorded, so anybody that wants to go back and listen to it, anybody that missed the beginning, it is going to be posted on our website shortly. So you can go to sardwealth.com, look under the download section, and it'll be right there. Any last-minute questions? Okay, if anybody does have any other questions, you can always call us right back. You can email Brian. Depending on how things go over the next couple of days and the next couple of weeks, we may do the same exact thing again. As many of you remember, we did a lot of these calls in 2008. We did a lot of them in 2009. We did a couple of them in 2010, a couple of them in 2011. And then we've done, boy, I think we've only done maybe four or five over the past few years. So if this volatility continues and we see more downside here, we'll probably hold another call just like this just to kind of go over exactly what I've gone over this afternoon. Okay? Any last minute questions? All right, guys. Well, with that, we're going to go ahead and turn it off. Again, have a great rest of the afternoon and just let us know how else we can help you guys in the meantime.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.